give away your authority.
Regular council meeting, March 4th, 2014.
Order.
And Brenda, would you poll the council, please?
Council President Cardoza.
Here.
Council Member Jones.
Here.
Council Member Boobin Vanderhaar.
Here.
Council Member Steer.
Here.
Mayor Nelson.
Here.
Thank you very much. And Chris Bent from Cavalry Chapel, would you lead us in invocation, please?
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity that you give us to govern ourselves. There are always important things on this agendas, and we just ask, Lord, that you would lead and guide these people standing before me that are making these decisions that affect so many people here. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and caring all about us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated. I think we need, as the first item, to amend the agenda, please.
I move we amend the agenda to add item number 5C, testimony of Ada County Highway District Commissioner Mitch Guarina.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. The first item after that then is the consent agenda. Are there any questions, additions, or corrections on the consent agenda?
Mayor,
yes.
I have one on page of the bills on page 1119 down towards the bottom in Mountain Gas. If you look at the consumption for the city hall, it was $239.74. If you look at the senior citizen, it was almost double. Maybe Bobby could go by there and check to make sure the thermostat's programmed to work properly. I get a feeling it's double what we're using here. There's something's a raid. Oh, wait a minute. Here comes John.
I got an answer for you, or a partial answer.
Okay.
That might help explain it. If you recall, a few years back, we did those renovations at the senior center. At that point in time, the natural gas consumption, assuming all else was held constant, was about, during this time of the year, was about $700 or $800 a month. So those efficiency changes did drop it to this level. I think a large part of what this is, they do have that, a lot of commercial grade appliances in the kitchen there, in the kitchen there, that do use natural gas. Mm-hmm. And so they do use a fair amount more than you would on a standard furnace water heater type of setup like we've got here.
Okay. Yeah. Saved by John there, Bobby.
Yeah, I was going to say, Intermountain Gas is going to lunch where we can kind of partner up on our 150th anniversary, so I could be glad to ask him.
Okay. That was all I had, Doc.
Okay, any other questions?
Mr. Mayor, I'd move we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say no. Motion carried. Next item is new business. Approved resolution R-16-2014 adopting emergency operation plan for the city of CUNA. Gordon Law.
I'm sorry, we were looking at Richard's question.
Oh.
Are you under new business? Emergency operation plan?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, over the last few months, the city has been involved with ACCEM on preparation of emergency operations plan, which was in case of disaster, how we take care of it, how we respond to it, how we organize ourselves among our own city and with the other agencies. The plan was attached to the submittal that was given to council for your review, and the requested action tonight is to approve the operations plan, authorize the mayor and clerk to sign it in conjunction with the other agencies.
Okay, thank you. Questions? I did review it all as far as what the mayor is supposed to do, and it certainly seemed doable to me, although depending on the operation, I might have to have Mitch or somebody come over and hold my hand, because it's pretty complex, but I think we need it, and I can't recommend any changes because it looks like it's pretty functional.
Yeah, the point of the whole thing is, in the event of an emergency, that we can make one phone call and things happen, and that's the way that system's set up now, and it's meant to be quite efficient. All the first responder agencies are working together in conjunction to, and even the cities, as far as, you know, if there's a flood, everybody knows who has how many backhoes and dump trucks, and
right.
So you can get an automatic response, and a lot of people here really quick when needed, so it's definitely a welcome thing to get done.
Yes, and it's needed for sure this day and age.
I have a question.
Okay.
On I guess page 33 of 49, the continuity of government section, do we need to appoint a council vice chairman?
The mayor has two copies of this plan. I'm suggesting not keep both of them on his shelf, but that he have a second in case the mayor is out of town in Las Vegas or something, so that things could take place.
We'd have Joe as our primary one because he represents us on the emergency team.
Well, I'm looking at the elected officials order of succession, and it goes mayor,
I see mayor,
city council president, and then council vice chairman. And so, and then just reverts to council member. And so I didn't know if, because we're designating that person as a specific.
I wonder whether that vice should be in there at all.
I think the way it's written, it's intended for the mayor to be able to appoint whoever he'd like in whatever positions he deems necessary and that type of thing. So I'm not sure that we need to, but it probably
wouldn't hurt.
I was reading
it more along the lines of, like, if there was an explosion and the mayor and Richard were killed, you know what I mean? Because then, I mean, the mayor couldn't appoint somebody. So I'm just saying, if it's specifically listed as
everybody
order of succession,
with a tie goes down, is that?
I shouldn't know
first.
Because it's specifically listed as our designated order of succession, if we needed to have somebody in that role, or if we should delete that portion and just have it be council member from, you know, council president and then council member from that point on, or.
We'd be happy to appoint a vice chairman, or if you guys agreed on who you wanted as your council vice chairman. We'd be happy to use that name, because I think any of you would do well in it.
Well, either way's fine. I just wanted to make sure we were being consistent. And
you know, I don't want to confuse the issue. It looks like the term may not have been appropriately included here. It looks like it should be council chairman or council president or something like that. But I'm not sure that that just taking care of the action the way the mayor described it, which is to appoint a vice chairman, I think that's fine too. Just so I know, and then I can include it in the book, and Mayor, you all probably ought to include it in your two copies too, so we're aware of it.
It would probably be good that we picked Joe Steer as the vice chairman, since he is our representative on the emergency board.
Sure.
So, if everybody is comfortable with that.
Would Joe be preoccupied with the fire department, though?
No.
Okay, good question and a good answer.
No, the staff up there would be.
Okay.
I deal with fiscal responsibilities there rather than emergency responsibilities, so.
Okay, we'll do that, and we'll appoint Joe Steer is our council vice chairman, so that he's actually named in that. Okay.
Mr. Mayor,
yes.
How often do we review this? I mean, is this like a five-year thing? We go back and just reread it and make sure everything's good? Or, I mean, what's the review process on that?
Well, I reviewed it when I came in because we already have one. This amends it. And I think, Joe, in your official capacity, when they meet, you have your things set out. Do you review this?
From ACCEM standpoint, that's reviewed annually, and if any changes are necessary, then they do that. They have a TAG group, a technical advisory group, and they meet monthly, and then the executive board meets quarterly, and so all these things are looked at throughout the year. And
okay, so it's pretty, it's consistently.
Yeah, there's actually a group at Ada County that actually, that's their job all year long, is this Ada City County Emergency Management. They deal with grants and all kinds of things, so that's a full-time staff.
And we have it where I can put my hands on it, pull it, if something happens.
I was just concerned, you know, 10 years down the road, nobody's looked at this, and all of a sudden something changed.
Well, that's what it used to be.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
I was at the ACCM meeting yesterday. We had working group. What Mr. Councilman Steer put forward is changing somewhat. The TAG won't be monthly. The TAG will be quarterly.
Oh.
And the TAG will be part of the LEPC, which is a larger group that includes everybody. But it gets reviewed, and then typically those are reviewed, the plan itself in its entirety. I'm writing Hawaii County's plan right now. It's reviewed every 5 years with exactly as Councilman Steer said, annually reviewed by the Emergency Operations Group.
Okay, good. All right.
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions?
Richard? Gordon, I have one question on page 26 of 49. Under Mayor and Mayor's Policy Group, the second paragraph, the last sentence, it was the only thing in there that I found interesting. This local disaster emergency shall expire within 7 days unless the City Council expressly authorizes the continuance. Where do they pick 7 days? Why not just the duration of the problem? Who came up with 7 days? Why not just a period of time to resolve the issue?
See, I really think that stems back from some mayors that are able to do it, or whoever's declaring it has the right to declare it.
Based on how that paragraph is written, my suspicion is that it says it specifically in the Idaho Disaster Preparedness Act of 1975.
And I think by the council then coming in after 7 days, it elevates it to where the council is in agreement with the expenditures and what have you that creates.
Okay. I can tell you the consultant provided the language, but I think he had a basis that you've already indicated here. The other thing is, the mayor declares a disaster, but that isn't a non-expiring state of affairs. And so it's presumed, I think, within that 7 days that the mayor and council can get together and begin to act as a governing board would act, whereas the mayor would need to declare his emergency quickly if the emergency required it. So this gives an expiring time to it, and it wouldn't go forever without further authorization from the council. I think that's the intent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Gordon.
Okay, further questions? And to entertain a motion to approve resolution R16-2014.
Move we approve resolution number R16-2014, adopting the emergency operations plan.
Second.
Being moved and seconded, any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say no. Resolution number R16-2014 is adopted on publication and becomes law. We probably should have a motion that we give a summary of it, don't we, Brenda? Yeah, on a resolution, okay. All right, and I noticed a group of young men came in. Could we have you folks identify, are these scouts or?
We are the Boy Scouts Troop 800, and we came into council meeting for our neighborhood.
Very good. Well, welcome to the council meeting. And this is where democracy comes to its phase of implementation. So. Anyway, and if you have any questions or anything, be sure to raise your hands and we'll try to recognize you. Okay? And thank you for coming. Okay, February construction report. Gordon.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, there's a long list of activities construction-wise that we're participating in right now, and certainly available to answer or ask any questions about any item on there that that may interest you.
All right. You do have a lengthy list here. I will say that. Any questions for Mr. Law?
My only question would be, how do you have time for meetings?
This is exciting and interesting to me to have things going on. So, and it's also an indication we've got other activities going on in the city which require it, like development. So this is the good times. Sitting around worrying about it is the bad time.
As we move into spring, you can see that we're getting into busy, busy time in the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Okay.
I have a question, but it doesn't regard this. If we're going to have a short water year, why is all that water going down Indian Creek?
We're not going to have a short water year.
That isn't on the list here.
Councilman Cardozo, I know the answer. I talked to Mr. Yamamoto today.
And Dwayne had to say what?
And Dwayne says filling up Lake Lowell.
Lake Lowell.
They've got the runoff flow from the rivers that are what's coming down from below the dam. So they're taking that extra water and putting it to Lake Lowell.
Oh, it's not coming out of the dam. It's just river runoff.
River flow.
Okay.
They're taking it while they can get it.
I would assume you ought to complain about what's going down the Boise River, not what's going down Indian Creek. So.
But it sure looks good to see it.
Going yeah, down, doesn't it does. It? Yeah. Thank you, Gordon.
I just give Gordon a suggestion.
Without the chop hand.
Any other questions? Okay, moving on. Testimony of Ada County Highway District Commissioner Mitch Harina.
Gordon, jump in anytime you feel like it.
Okay. Mitch Arena, 7776 South Old Farm Lane, Meridian, Idaho. I'm your ACHD commissioner for Subdistrict 4, which includes the city of Cuna. Mr. Mayor, council, thank you. Recently, allegations have been made by a Cuna resident that suggest our city's residents, businesses, schools, police department, elected leadership, and ACHD have somehow neglected CUNA's true transportation needs in order to pursue yet another plan, and that the money could have gotten us sidewalks to the older parts of the city. Also, this individual incorrectly stated that the current plans, which were collaboratively developed and approved by CUNA citizens, businesses, elected officials, and ACHD, are unnecessary, and that the city won't want it when you see the devastation to businesses and pedestrians. Frankly, this individual is either grossly misinformed or is cloaking their true agenda, which I believe is clearly not in CUNA's best interest. Let me state the facts. The CUNA downtown plan, which was approved by the city and ACHD, is not a quick fix, as alleged. In contrast, the plan provides a comprehensive set of transportation improvements that support CUNA's long-term vision for the next 20 years. The hard fact is that the individual who made these allegations was ITD's representative on this plan and had failed to raise any concerns during the very lengthy planning and extensive community involvement process. It is wildly inappropriate that, after being invited to the planning table to make recommendations and failing to do so, this person now seeks to openly criticize the work which he himself neglected to engage in. Our joint efforts with all the other stakeholders who readily participate in the process successfully resulted in an integrated plan composing 14 capital projects and 26 community program projects valued at $20,300,000, of which $6 million are projects that will happen in the next 5 years. Moreover, in recognition of excellence, CUNA's plan was highlighted in Washington, D.C., and awarded Compass's first place recognition as a stellar example of integrated community planning. It simply does not get any better than that. The planned roundabout at Linder, Main, and 3rd Avenue is a near-term, high-priority CUNA City project and a key element of the CUNA Downtown Quarter Plan, which was developed after substantial public and business involvement. It is not, as the individual claims, something that will not fix anything. Generally, ACHD-approved roundabouts are operating effectively and safely. This individual's accusation that a roundabout was responsible for a child's death in Meridian is not only flat wrong, egregiously insensitive, and inappropriate, but seems to underscore what appears to be his consistent attempt to erroneously characterize events for his own gain. I cannot let that accusation stand. As your representative of the ACHD Commission, I want to take this opportunity to clear up any uncertainty and assure you have the facts. The truth is that the city, its citizens, and ACHD have been and will continue to be partners in successfully bringing CUNA safe and effective transportation options that reflect what the city and its citizens desire to see in its community. And I'll stand for any questions, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Questions of Mitch?
And Mitch, another thing that's kind of alluded to there is that the city somehow has the option of taking monies that are spent and using them on what we would prefer to spend them on, and that's generally not the case, is it? I mean, if we wanted to put in a whole bunch of sidewalks, we can't just put away other projects and build sidewalks, right? I mean, money's allocated and funded for certain projects, and we don't get to just put it where we want it.
Mr. Mayor, Councilman Steer, you're absolutely correct. The money is programmed over a five-year plan. If a project does not get approved, or for example, the city does not want to do that project for whatever reason, and I'll use Beacon Light as an example up in the City of Eagle. Once that project does not move forward, that money goes back into the general fund and goes to the next prioritized project within the county. That's what happened on Beacon Light. Beacon Light wanted, the City of Eagle decided they didn't want the five-lane road on Beacon Light. They wanted that money to do other projects. That's not how it works. That money was reprogrammed and then put forward to next higher priority projects. That's how some of the projects here in CUNA got moved forward. They deferred those projects by their request and by public's request. We went ahead and deferred it, and then that money was reprogrammed. So no, you don't get to pick and choose. You can choose not to, and if so, then we will move on. But the process becomes during the design phase and the public comment phase. As you all know, we spent well over 2 years doing this and had many opportunities for the public to input and for the city council to input. And we hear you and we listen to you when you make recommendations also. So once these plans have been decided upon, and you can't make everybody happy, I understand that, but once you get the plans put together, you are correct, Councilman Steer, it goes forward with that project or it goes back into the general fund.
Okay.
Further questions?
And if you have any questions about the plans or anything that comes up, our representative Sabrina Anderson's here, and she has the five-year work plan and the CUNA Downtown Quarter Plan in her hand. And you know her well. She's going to be beginning the Bridge Street project here soon.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think Sabrina and Wendy are already working pretty closely together, so that's very nice.
Mayor?
Yes?
If I could have the floor a minute, I would like to emphasize in our minutes that the mayor and the council are always open to letters from the public for discussion, but we have the prerogative to answer those letters that are presented to us. I think it's important that we keep communications open with our constituents, but by the same token, when they present a letter to us, then we have the right to rebuttal that letter.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Okay, further discussion? Okay, employee leave bank discussion. Mr. Roach, the city attorney.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. First, let me give you an update. Yesterday afternoon, I went and picked up the first iPad to start to get it programmed. As Council Member Cardoza had requested, it would be nice to be able to access the Idaho Code and the laws. So I can tell you that as that question came up regarding the 7 days, it's in Idaho Code 461011, which says that the local disaster emergency can be declared by the mayor only for a period of 7 days, and then it can be continued thereafter by vote. So one keystroke away, and we have all the Idaho Code online. That being said, we're working on some of the PDF programs to highlight it. Some neat things that it does is when you highlight a section, it puts all of those highlighted sections into one little area, so you can just go down and read through those as you you know, either want to later refer to, or perhaps for Council Member Cardoza to bring up for discussion later. So it just puts all those, if you have, for example, the agenda was, I think, 88 pages, if I'm not mistaken. It puts those all down, you know, so you can just go to them as quickly as you can. And I found the section that Gordon was referring to within a matter of seconds. So it's just really slick. Brenda PDF'd it to me electronically, and it was I created a Dropbox account, and then it downloaded automatically to the iPad. So it's really pretty slick. Moving on then to the topic, just wanted to start with you the initial discussions. At least one employee has come to me and asked what the thoughts are for a policy that an employee can donate some of their sick time or leave time to a bank that then, depending on whatever restrictions are in place, could be drawn from by another employee, either sick or needs some leave that they may not have enough of. So before I went and drafted five or six different types of options, I figured I'd ask Council if you thought that that was something we wanted to do and maybe some of the parameters. So leave it open for discussion then.
Can I ask a quick question? It might vary based on maybe how long people have been employed, but is there a standard amount of leave that a city employee accrues per pay period? Like, is it 4 hours of sick leave and 4 hours of annual leave, or?
For the record, John Marsh. Yes, there is. So based on from 1 to 5 years, up to 5 years, there is a vacation allotment and then also a sick time allotment. After 5 years, it graduates up until you get beyond 10 years.
And so is it like 4 hours in the first bank, like 6 hours in the second bank, and then 8 hours in the third? Is that about right, or?
Yes, it's relatively close.
Okay,
yes.
And then is the sick leave consistent? Is it always 4 hours of sick leave?
It graduates as well.
That does too?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's, I mean, there, and like Richard was talking, there's myriad of things. There's a PTO process where you can combine vacation and sick together or keep them separate. Or, I mean, there's a myriad of things that that you can design that would streamline things. But
so, do we currently cash out, like in the federal government? If I was to, you know, quit tomorrow, I would get cash out of my annual leave, but my sick leave would be foregone. And the only way you get credit for sick leave is you can basically build up years of sick leave, and it might count towards like retirement, but you never actually get a cash value for it. Is it the same for us?
Yeah, we haven't been cashing out sick leave. Comp time and vacation time, sick time, we have not been cashing out. So a couple of instances recently, they've utilized a fair amount of it prior to leaving, but we if somebody leaves and they have it, we don't cash that out.
We don't cash out vacation or comp time?
No, either? Sick time. Vacation
sick time.
And comp time,
we do cash
out. Yes.
Okay. Okay. I have ideas, but if other people want to talk first.
I was going to say, I wouldn't expect the council to make a decision on this tonight. I think that you probably need a little more information, like we really do need to know how much sick leave is accumulated, how much annual leave, policy on comp time, and then if we put it into a bank, does that mean everyone can contribute to that bank, and then who decides who can use it? I mean, and maybe what other cities are doing in that vein. I think they need a little more information, you know, as to be comfortable with that kind of request.
Yeah. What I was just looking for tonight was airing the idea and then drafting up some different concepts if council was agreeable to the thought in the first place.
Would the council be interested in taking a look at that?
Yeah, I think it's a great policy for, you know, people that have catastrophic illness or injury, you know, have enough to deal with, and if they can draw from a bank that's donated by their fellow workers, you know, I think that's a good thing if it's set up properly. So, yeah.
Okay, I will move forward with some.
I was going to say, I think I would be more responsive to something that's similar to like what the federal government does, which would be you can only donate annual leave because that's what has like an actual value. And then in the federal government, it's you get into, like, if I was an employee who was in need of some leave, I would apply to the voluntary leave transfer program, which I think you have to take, I want to say like 2 or 3 days of leave without pay before you would qualify. And then other employees can choose to donate leave directly to you. So rather than there being a giant leave bank that one employee could extinguish in one fell swoop, each time an employee qualified, then other employees would be notified that this employee is eligible and would somebody like to donate leave. The one piece that I'm not sure about on the front end, but I could find out if you wanted to know, is how they deal with the different pay levels. Like if a high-ranking employee was going to be donating leave to, say, like a lower-ranking employee, whether we would do a conversion. So if the donating employee makes like twice as much, would every day of leave they donate end up counting as 2 days for the other employee? Or would it just kind of all come out in the wash? You donate a day, the other person gets a day, and sometimes that's going to work for us and sometimes it's going to work against us. So I can try to find that out if you want to know, but otherwise, you know, if you just want to take a stab at addressing it.
Interest in this side? You guys?
Yeah, I'd be willing to look at something.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Richard, one question. Is there a lot of people that say they are willing to volunteer to give up that time? It just seems to me, I mean, I don't have that type of a thing for where I work. I mean, we accrue time and everything, but I don't know if I would have, unless of a dire family emergency, I would be having employees donate money because I'm sick for a week. So I don't know if that's is that something that we've got the other side willing to do that? We've got both sides willing to.
Yeah, the employee that approached me regarding this was an employee who had accrued time that would be wanting to donate it to somebody else.
Okay.
Do we have use or lose?
On sick time?
On annual leave.
No, we don't on the comp time or the vacation time.
Because that's the crucial component that makes it work in the federal government, is you can only carry over 240 hours. So you either have employees that either take a ton of vacation at the end of the year, or they know they're going to lose it anyway, so then they donate it to other people. So I don't know if we would want to think about implementing something like that as well, but...
Yeah, I have a cap where I can only accrue so much.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it also, it emphasizes people to use their vacation.
Right, because otherwise you end up with somebody who has like a year of vacation time and they say, it's my entitlement, I want to take.
Or they want every Friday off for the next 10 years.
Yeah, you know, so it's...
Question then, when a person donates to another person, as you were describing, is that anonymous or does that person get approved? And then it's solicited out for persons to donate to that person. Do they know who it is, or is it just somebody needs 200 hours of
They know who it is.
Okay.
I don't think there's an explanation of what the issue is, like
okay.
why they need it, but just that so-and-so has been approved for the voluntary leave transfer program, and if you want to donate leave to them, you know, this is who you contact. Here's the form you need to fill out.
Okay.
I think if there was abuse, it would show up real soon. If this same person every month was coming back for
more
money, yeah, I think it would.
Okay.
Well, and the component where you have to have at least like two or three days of leave without pay first really eliminates the, I mean, there's you already take a financial hit before you can even qualify, so I think
yeah.
that helps take
yeah,
some
definitely. Okay, I think that's good.
Okay, excellent.
As I recall with the fire district, I don't think we have a bank, but I think when something does occur, people are allowed to step up and donate that towards that person, so I don't remember there being a bank of sorts, but...
Okay.
I think there's just an allowance in there so that if something does happen, they can say, I've got this much sick leave, I'll donate that towards them.
Okay.
Would it be something that if you're going to donate the money, it would have to be used at that time? Because my concern would be somebody donating 20 hours 5 months from now and wants the 20 hours back. So, I mean, once they donate the money, it's done and deal. They can't have that back or donate the hours or however you want to do it. Is that how that works?
I think, yeah. Well, with the federal government, there's no bank. It's, you know, you donate directly to the person. So once it's completed, it's done. Because otherwise
okay.
it turns into just a logistical nightmare in terms of on the payroll side of
yeah.
it, like doing corrected cards and the corrected, you know, tax stuff that all goes with it. So, yeah, once it's done, it's done. And I think... not having a bank would help with that, you know, you'd be donating to the person and they'd be using it immediately,
yeah.
so you wouldn't have the opportunity to pull
okay.
back.
Yeah, that'd be my concern. I just don't want to make it too much of a nightmare logistically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Council Member Cardozo?
Okay. Mayor, have you talked to any of the other employees before you start pursuing this time-wise? If there's not enough interest among the others, I don't know if it's worth pursuing.
Okay. I haven't, but I can circulate a questionnaire and find out if you're exactly
I think it'll
interested.
Build up teamwork among the employees, but I could also see hard feelings if somebody is not limited, kind of like others have said. If it's not limited, somebody could use it all up. The next person in line has nothing in the bank. There's going to be some hard feelings that Joe, or excuse me, Billy.
Yeah, I took it.
Billy used up everything that was in there. Now the next person doesn't have it. I could foresee more problems than help.
Yeah.
Although I do agree it builds some kind of teamwork among the employees, I foresee more problems than benefits. So I would
okay.
like to see if most of the employees before we even pursue it are interested. So
okay, I will circulate a question.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
We've got, I've got, I don't know, what is six slides or so. We cleaned up, I'll use the term we loosely because I wasn't involved, but Wava Kaufman brought 100 sixth graders, and Bobby was there, and was Paxton there, and was Bob, well, anyway, a few city employee type, and they cleaned up the butte where we can start maybe limiting trails, but also increasing trails where we'll eventually have BMX racing, and we'll have cross-country racing, and we'll have some pretty good things. So this is just kind of our first step at enlarging the trail system in CUNA. So I thought you'd like to see those pictures because they're interesting. So Brenda, are you going to show us, or is Bobby, or? Okay.
How did you do in the sixth grade, Bobby?
I can't keep up with the
nanolite. I bet.
So how many of these pictures are Bobby?
Six.
Well, all of them.
Buckets.
How fast would you like me to go?
Just so they get a good glimpse of what it looks like and what we were doing out there, or what they were doing out there.
It's a lot of kids.
And our trash company donated one of the large bins, wasn't it? And it was totally full, and I'm not so sure that you were able to pick up everything you gathered, so. This was last Friday when they did this.
There's Bobby.
Yeah, that's one.
That's my favorite.
Kids looking out like an old that. Car door. All right.
Yeah.
Very good. And
that made my legs tired just watching that.
Yeah. Yeah. The BLM was there, and we will be working with them, and they'll be the actual ones to decide which trail will open more and which trail we'll try to limit. So and replant and what have you. But you know, rumor has it that there was a spring out there. So any of you locate the spring, we'd like to give you a reward, because I want to know where it was and see if we can't dig it back out. So, did any of you boys that are here, did any of you participate in the cleanup?
Oh, there's one.
Are you guys sixth graders?
That was this past Saturday?
Friday.
That Friday, during school time.
So you could have got out of school.
Well, thank you for helping. One of them did.
Did it?
Yeah, the blue jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Did.
Okay. Well, very good. We'll be having more of those. We'll, one of these days, we'll have a trail system you guys will really be proud of. So. Okay. Yes, sir.
Before we close, since Bobby's here, every day I've been walking the Greenbelt for medical reasons. And I see a lot of the bushes have been torn down along the creek. And it, I see new benches, some sand put down. And I've got to admit, I think for the size of Kuna, we've got a beautiful green belt. I'm really impressed as I walk that people are out walking it. I've heard just among themselves as they pass me, they're commenting how nice the green belt is. So I think, Bobby, you should be complimented on how nice the park is looking.
That's called eavesdropping.
Yeah. Yes, we certainly all agree, Bobby, that you know, he's always there. He does more than his share, and he's kind of all these ideas I dream up. He's the kind of the implementer. You'd probably like for me to go on vacation, just stay there for a while.
That's why we love our Bobby.
Okay, are there any other things you brought up?
You guys came on a good night. This is record time.
Really? Yeah. All right.
Mr. Mayor, move we adjourn.
Adjourn. Okay. Second?
Second.
Move and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned. All right.